welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right, well, good morning. We're going to go ahead and delve into the Word of God here. We're going to actually start in a passage of Scripture here in the book of Revelation. And this is Revelation chapter 2. This is Jesus. He's actually has some words, messages to the seven churches back in their day to prepare their hearts, kind of let them know that he knows what's going on with them and some admonitions for them. And this is his admonition to the church of Ephesus. And he says this, he says, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you've tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you've persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent, do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." So Jesus is giving some admonition here to the church at Ephesus. And if you ever read the book of Ephesians, that is a power-packed letter. There's a bunch of stuff in there, a bunch of really kind of even mature truths of who you are in Christ and, you know, certainly all the practical side of things too, but it's really a rich letter. It kind of gives you an idea, perhaps, of just the place of maturity and hunger, spiritual hunger that this church had. And so Jesus is speaking to him, and he's saying, look, I know your works, your labor, patience. These weren't slouches. They were very much sticklers for their theology. They were able to determine who was, you know, not saying the correct things, wasn't lining up with the word. They've been patient. They persevered for his name's sake. And so this is all good stuff. This is all commendable things that Jesus is giving this church in terms of their works. But he goes on to say, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. All right. It's interesting they could have all this going for them, but yet there's something that is missing about the way they're doing what they're doing. And what does he say? He says, repent, do the first works, or I'll come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. Now, when it's talking about removing its lampstand from its place, he's not talking about losing your salvation. You're saved by grace through faith. But what is a lampstand? It's your light. It's your influence. In other words, he's saying, if you don't make these adjustments, it's going to affect your influence. It's going to affect how you shine. You know, there's going to be something that is just, you know, you're checking your boxes, but there's an impact that's being missed here. And he's letting them know, he's commending what they're doing, but he's saying, this is an adjustment that you need to make. He said, you've left your first love. Remember, repent, and do. So these are kind of the admonitions that he has within his correction here. Now, when we're talking about first love, and this is really what I want to get to this morning, is I want to talk about just first love. Because when we say first love, what does that really mean? Returning to my first love, doing the first works, all that kind of stuff. It can kind of conjure up some different things. You know, one of the things about first love, and you know how it is, you just think of your own story, your own backstory. When you very first, it really dawned on you that Jesus died on that cross for your sins. It wasn't just a religion. It wasn't just a Christian religion of a concept of a guy dying on a cross for the sins of the world. But the Holy Spirit made it real to you that your stuff was on there. That when Jesus died on that cross, it was for your stuff. It was the stuff that could ultimately, like we experienced this morning, cleanse my conscience from those dead works, because that stuff was on here. He paid the price for it. And I mean, I remember for me when I was at a Nikki Cruz crusade, gave my heart to the Lord and prayed that prayer. Like I've said, I've just literally felt lighter on my feet. It was just so real, you know, that God forgave me of my sins. It was just incredible, exciting, you know, and everything is like a whole new world. And you know, it's like I love God. I know He loves me. I pray to God because I know He hears me. I want to read the Word of God because I want to learn about God. I want to praise God and express my excitement for Him. It's just like it's new and it's exciting, and you know, there's this first love. And if you're around a believer sometimes, you know, maybe if you're a seasoned believer, you've been around, you've walked with the Lord for a while, maybe like that these Ephesians, okay? Say you're one of those Ephesians that He's talking to. And you come across a new believer, they can either be inspiring or annoying. I think kind of the Odie and Garfield. You know, Odie's just really excited and jacked up and loving life, every little thing, and Garfield's like rolling his eyes all the time. And sometimes you can see that new believer, and they're, you know, if you're not in a good place of your love and your first love for God, it can be like, oh yeah, just wait. You know, you're going to, you know, there can be this kind of almost insecure feeling around a new believer, like, you know, but that should not be how new believers impact us. And I mean, I'll tell you what, new believers inspire me. They inspire me to this first love. When they're everything's exciting, everything's new. I mean, they just got saved. There's no theological strife or anger. They don't even know the Bible yet. They're just excited because Jesus loves them. You know, they haven't really had any big why God tests yet. Brand new faith is just all new here. It's a first love. And these things are true and they're right. And there's something powerful about that first love. Because, you know, what he said here too is he didn't, you know, when he kind of admonishes him here, I'm not sure if I'm losing my, did I do that or did you do that? Okay, good. There might be a little delay. I'm not sure if there's, maybe the battery's getting low. All right, but it says, he says, repent and do the first works. And, you know, unless I come quickly, let's see, repent, therefore. Okay, so what he's saying is he wants us to return. We've left that first love. Remember where you've fallen, repent, do the first works. He's wanting us to go back to that first love. And again, think of these Ephesians. These guys are mature believers. They're tearing it up. They're theological precise. They can point out false prophets, all that. But there's something, again, about this heart, this attitude. And this is a message, you know, I'd like to say this is the last time I'll ever preach this message. This message is like a spiritual oil change. This is a message that we all need, you know. We all need it regularly. We all need to have that fresh oil. I mean, it's not that like the Holy Spirit gets dirty or anything. You know, the Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit. But our passion, our love, you know, if we're not careful, it can get contaminated and jaded in things as certain things come and creep in, and all of a sudden we're not really serving the Lord from that place of first love. So it's kind of an interesting thought, you know, idea, concept. And what I want to do this morning is just take this idea of first love and really break it down and say, what is this? Okay, I'm returning to my first love. What does that mean? I want to go back. I want to serve you, Lord, from that place of first love. It's not like new theology. It's nothing. It's really a spiritual heart attitude adjustment is really what it is. And so let's take a look at that. What does this first love mean that I'm returning to? I'm returning to a revelation, okay? I'm returning to a very simple revelation that brings me back here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. What a beautiful statement. Now, if you can kind of imagine on this side, I'm the new believer. I'm the newbie, all right? I've believed. I'm excited. God loves me. I have forgiveness, all right? Over here, I'm that Ephesian. I've been walking with God for a while. I got my theology down. I've been through life. I've had life's experiences, all right? But there's something that Romans 8 brings out. Because whether I'm a new believer or whether I've been walking with the Lord for a while, I've experienced some things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Of course, he's talking about an era of persecution there. Death, life, angels, all these different things. What he's saying is nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus my Lord. In other words, that love that I very first experienced when I gave my heart to Jesus, yeah, I'm going through life, I'm going through stuff, but one of the things that all that stuff in that list can't do is it can't separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus my Lord. In other words, when I called upon the name of the Lord, I got a revelation that he loved me. I may have heard for years, God loves you, God loves you, you need Jesus, all. But when I believed, when I called, when the Holy Spirit drew me, I saw that he loved me. I believe in my heart that he loved me, that he gave himself for me. And what does the scripture says? No matter what life can throw at us, all that stuff, how long we've been living for God, it doesn't change that truth. It doesn't change that first love truth. God loves me. And there comes a point in time that if I'm going to return, we'll kind of throw another scripture here in contrast with this. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If you're going to return to your first love for God, you have to return to his love for you. And a lot of times when it comes to returning to our first love, this is what we kind of lose sight of. We lose sight of that simple little revelation that God loves us, that he is for us, that he is with us, and that he loves us. Because here's what happens in the subtlety from here to here, all right? I know that God loves me. As I'm endeavoring to live for him, you know, instead of living from that place of love, I begin to work for that love. I begin to do things for God to get that sense of approval, to get that sense of love. And there is something that you realize over here. You know over here there's nothing you did. You're coming out of darkness into his marvelous light. There is nothing you can point to but mercy and grace. It's so simple, so basic. You know, it is truly by works of, it's not by works of righteousness which I've done. It's by the blood of Christ. But I'm going through life now. I'm living for God. I'm co-laboring with God. I'm doing things for God. There can be a subtle little shift again that takes place. We see that in the story of the prodigal son, where the dad had the two sons, gave them split the inheritance. The younger son goes off, squanders it. He comes back, you know, ultimately comes back, wants to be a servant in his dad's household. His dad does receives him back as a son. And that older brother is so mad. He said, "Why did you let him? You know, I've done all this, and you're letting this, you know, younger brother of mine who's just squandered all his money, and you're just letting him back, you know." And the father says, "Hey, look, son, all I have is yours, you know." And what that son didn't realize, though, is he was working hard for his father, and he didn't like that. That younger brother was just shown love and grace and mercy because of grace. It was nothing that he did. Obviously, he messed up. But there was mercy and there was forgiveness. The son felt the father owed him something because of what he did for him. What are we talking about first love? First love goes like this. Man, I am saved by grace through faith. There is a deepening awareness. It's why we do communion regularly. So it brings us back to that place of mercy and grace. I'm here simply because of the grace and the mercy of God. There is nothing else, praise God, but his love and mercy and that has saved me. And so sometimes it's good to remember, to stir yourself up over here too, to remember those things that he has done for you. Remember when you were first saved. Remember of those miracles, those different breakthroughs that you experienced in God, the times that he's just shown his kindness and his mercy. I mean, I think of just even specific times in my life where, you know, I was completely, you know, broke. And God sent that check, that financial relief, that gift. You remember his goodness. I love this passage of scripture in Psalms. I think it's really applicable for today, especially as we're kind of going through some of the stuff we are. Did we just go off? All right, there it is. Psalm 27. says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, unless I'd believed, you know, especially we see the things that are going on with Ukraine and a war and atrocity and things like that. The Bible says, you know, because lawlessness increased, the love of many will wax cold. You see injustice and different things like that. It's like, well, how does this reconcile? I'm just living in this world. Everything's just so random. And, you know, no, God loves you. God's for you. Believe that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And sometimes that land, that place in your heart is where you're having to believe, restore, you know, stir up those good things that God has already done for you in your life. I mean, I remember just times in your life that you can remember experiencing the presence of God. That's just undeniable. In other words, you've been in some places in the Lord you thought, I will never doubt again. The Spirit of God is here. He is real. I know Him. I mean, I'm getting things from Him, and it's so powerful. I've had some experiences when I was kind of over in this place, newer believer. I'm going just in a chapel service on a Sunday night, and all of a sudden, I just sense the power of God come upon me, and I just start like weeping, almost like crying, incontrollably crying, and I'm embarrassed. You know, I'm a teenage guy in church, and it's like I don't do that. You know, I'm just kind of really not that emotional. But I just sensed the presence of the Lord, and what I was stirred up was His love for my family and friends who didn't know Him like I knew Him. And all of a sudden, it just sensed in His presence, just like a spirit of intercession, that I just wanted my family, my friends to know His love like I knew His love. Remember, our associate pastor came over and just kind of put his arm around me because he could just see me, that I was crying. It was like nothing that I was putting on. It wasn't even emotional. It was spiritual. It was like a spiritual cry that was coming from the inside. It was so real, and I just wanted them to know what I know, to experience what I've experienced. It was powerful. It's like, wow, I can't get away from that. There's another time when I was a member just experiencing oppression. I mean, an oppression is like a checkmate of the mind. I didn't know how to get out of it. Frustrated, stuck. And just so happened we went to, if you guys remember this old evangelist guy, R.W. Schombach, all right? So he was in Minneapolis, and we had a church group that went out there, you know? And sometimes you see these things where people kind of go up to get hands laid on them, and they'll fall down, and you think, is that really real, or is that not really real? And I'll say this, there's phony stuff, there's real stuff, all right? But I kind of went up there, and I saw, you know, this first of my experience where people were going up, and he'd put his hands on people, and they'd fall back. We'd call it falling under the power. And, I mean, I went up there. This is 1986, probably. And, you know, he was kind of going down the chain. But he specifically called out in that meeting as he was preaching for people that were dealing with depression, oppression. And it was like, wow, he's like, it's just, that was totally me. And I went up forward to that. And I could just, when he was coming down, it's like I could feel the power of the Holy Spirit as He was just getting closer to me, you know. And I had, you know, I just thought, okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm going to get what You want. And the next thing I knew, I was actually on my back, you know, and I was looking up, and I was just praying. I was just praying in the Spirit. I was just praying, you know, in my heart. And all of a sudden, you know, just as I was praying, somebody came up and said, sir, we need you to get up. I thought, what? I feel like I just went down. But I had been down there for several minutes. And it was just the power of God. And I was like, wow, okay, praise God. Here's the deal, though. It wasn't just some visual thing, sideshow thing for the sake of falling into the power. When I got up, it was like the power of God was in me. And I had my friend Joe there. And Joe was kind of waiting for me. And I said, Joe, we got to pray. And I remember just taking his hand. And I'm just praying, and I'm just praying. I'm just kind of worshiping God and thanking God, declaring the promises of God. But like my feet are moving. Okay? And it was just a powerful experience. And it was like that thing was broken off my mind. All of a sudden, the things of God were more real. They're more real than that game that was going on in my head. God was more real. And sometimes it kind of works that way. You know, ideally, we pray, we have our devotion times, different things like that. But sometimes, God has gifts of the Spirit and ministries of the Spirit that'll work like jumper cables in a winter, cold winter day in your car. All right? Sometimes you need a jump. And somebody come along and put those jumper cables on, you get a jump, and you get a jump of the Spirit of God. And that's kind of what it was like. His hands were almost like jumper cables, and I got a jump in my spirit, And it was like, wow. And I experienced the presence of God in a way that I will never forget. It marks you. It marks your conscience. It marks something in your heart. And you remember, that was God. That was God I experienced there. When I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was a Sunday night. And I was actually a Monday night in December of 84. And I just remember that, just worshiping God and just in my own language. And all of a sudden, it turned into that spiritual prayer language. That was real. It marked my spirit. All of a sudden, God is big and He's real and He's powerful. What is that? You're stirring yourself up in that revelation of God, what God has done. There are things you can't get away from, that all you can say is, that was God. And sometimes the things that you're going in your head, you say, what about that? Praise God, that was God. And all of a sudden, there's something about that in your mind, those thoughts, they're brought into captivity. That was God. And God, just His reality, His power, His presence, undeniable times that you've experienced His presence and His power. What are you doing? You're returning to your first love. You're returning to a revelation. You're returning to something you saw that you can't get away from, that you know is God. You're living from that place now. It's not just about what I know. It's about what I have seen by revelation, by His Spirit. So that's part of returning to your first love. Stir yourself up. Remember what you've seen. Remember the things that God has made real and real, very clear in your life and in your heart. The other aspect of returning to your first love, I think we're getting there. I don't know if it's timing out. Is, all right, I think that's a little bit, is that a little bit fur? It crashed, okay. All right. It's actually the last point, so I'll just go ahead and, some of these scriptures, I just know these scriptures. Okay, some of you guys probably just know them too, Proverbs 3:3-5. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Okay? There's returning to your first love is not just returning to a revelation of God's love and that God loves you all over again, but it's returning to just a revelation, too, of just simple trust in the Lord. Things can happen as it relates to God and His Word. You know, sometimes you'll go through some things that will cause you to wonder. You know, there's different kind of why God questions you can have. You can have why God questions about things that people have done to you. You can have some why God questions about times you stood on His Word and it didn't seem to work. Why God? You can have why God questions in a lot of different ways, in different forms. And some of these things, when they kind of go unchecked, or you just kind of learn how to live on top of those things, when that happens, this is where our heart can kind of get clouded away from that first love. We kind of learn to cope instead of really living all out for Him. I'm going to give this another shot. I'm not sure if it's, is it still crashed? Oh, this looks like it's working. All right, cool. Good, good. Thank you, Emily. All right, so what are we talking about here? We're just talking about you returning to a simple trust. Simple trust. Not complicated, but just a simple trust of God and His Word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Praise God. This is where He just wants to get us back to that place of simple trust. I think of that parable Jesus told about the guy with the tent, the parable of the talents, where He gave, you know, 10 talents to a guy, 5 talents to a guy, and then 5, 1 talent. The guy who had 10 earned 10 more. The guy that had 5 earned 5 more. But the guy He gave 1 talent to said something interesting. He buried it in a hole and then gave it back to him. He said, I knew you were an unjust man. He's talking to his master. You reap where you haven't sown. You know, you're taking things that don't belong to you. Therefore, I just dug a hole and here it is. Here you have what you gave me. All right? This is one of the things we're talking about, returning to a simple trust that can happen to our hearts sometimes spiritually When we get our why God questions about why certain things didn't happen. Why you said, you know, I believed your word and all of a sudden this didn't work out, it didn't happen. And all of a sudden what can happen is we can come to some wrong conclusions about our master. We can see things and say, God isn't fair. God isn't just. And a lot of times when we're going through life and we're going through these things, these are the things that can affect our first love for God. And God wants to just restore us back to a simple trust. In other words, let me put it this way. If I don't understand why something didn't work and it involved God and his promises, God doesn't need to be vindicated. I just need more understanding. All right? In other words, God isn't guilty until I prove him innocent because, okay, that's why. No, there's a fear of the Lord that is worked in you when you get back to a simple trust. Yes, I believed as best as I knew. I stepped out on some things. Some things didn't quite work out the way I thought they were going to. It could be healing, could be finances, it could be direction, whatever it is. God is going to return you to that first love. He's going to bring you back to a very simple trust because this is where things can kind of get complicated. And this is where God wants to simplify the stuff that we don't know. And he wants to bring us back to that place where we say, okay, Lord, I don't know it all. I don't get it all, but I am going to trust you with this. We experienced this, Julie and I, our second year in Bible school, where we were excited, you know, we're going to have our first child. As kind of timed it out as Bible school is going to end. We're ready to move into that new season of life and starting a family. As it turned out, that child passed away. We had a miscarriage. And, you know, we were all excited. We told everybody. We told everybody we knew. We told people we didn't know. You know, we were just like, we're going to have a baby, you know. And so the second time, you know, we thought, okay, maybe we didn't quite believe right. Maybe there's some scriptures and all that. You know, we're in Bible school, second year. And we're thinking, all right, I'm going to really dot my I's, cross my T's. We're going to get this right, you know. And so we, you know, Julie got pregnant again, and we didn't quite tell everybody. We told, you know, some family and certain friends, you know, at the time, and that baby passed away too, had another miscarriage. And, you know, if you've ever been through that, you know, the first one is bad, but that second one after it, it's not like just bad again. It's exponentially. It's like, oh, your heart, your faith, everything is tied into this. And you talk about some why God questions, and I'm thinking, Lord, here we are in Bible school, getting prepared to preach and teach and, you know, minister through the church, you know, and it's like this thing is just not making sense. It's not right. It's unfair. This is unjust. And we're doing everything we know to do by your word. Why are we losing children? You know, and I still remember just being at the corner of my couch and just praying this out, and I just remember the Lord just speaking a word to me. And this is all he just said to me. He said, because I had just been reading Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8, you know, be anxious for nothing. Let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And he just said this. He said, if you want the peace that passes your understanding, you've got to want the peace more than your understanding. And I realized there in kind of a moment of time, as I'm in all my theological confusion, and I'm probably a good Ephesian, I've got a lot of good theology, I'm diligent, I'm faithful, I'm da-da-da-da-da, but there's something about, you know, because my trust is really, I know how to believe God, and all of a sudden, it just simplified it. And all of a sudden, there's something bigger here in all my theological confusion than my understanding. My understanding is not the key here. The bigger thing than my understanding is the peace that passes my understanding. In other words, the peace is the engine. My understanding is the caboose. It's a peace that passes my understanding. And I just realized that, okay, Lord, I can let that request be made known unto you, cast that care upon you. I don't know. I don't understand. It doesn't mean that I won't understand. But it means that I've got a peace in the meantime. And what does that peace do? It keeps my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's what it does. It keeps me stable. I don't have understanding, and I'm still stable in his peace. I'm going through that. And it was just so relieving. It was like, It took the pressure off my mind to have to understand. That's a lot of pressure. When you put the pressure, when you make your understanding the engine and the piece, the caboose, there's a lot of pressure on your understanding to have to figure it out. And there'll be a lot of anger and frustration because you have to know that first. When that shifts, and it's like, I don't have to know. I can just let my request be made known to God, and I don't have to know. I can just let that peace keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus till I do know. Here's a beautiful picture of what that looks like on the inside. It's a familiar psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the peace that passes my understanding. He's leading me to first things first. He's going to bring me to that place of peace, of lying down. As I'm lying down, as I'm letting that peace rule in the green pastures and still waters, at that point, he's restoring my soul. He's healing the mental, the confusion, the stuff I don't understand. And from that place of a restored soul, then he leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. A lot of times when we're in that complicated faith as mature believers and we're frustrated, God wants to bring us back to a first love. You know, when you're trusting God and you're a new believer, you don't even have, like I said, two scriptures to rub together. You're just believing God and you don't have a bunch of theological confusion. You're just trusting him. And even though you know a bunch of scriptures and you know a lot of things in your heart, again, it's good to know the word. It's good to study yourself, to show yourself approved. We want to know the word. We want to let that word dwell in us richly. That's all good. But in our heart, we're still living from that place of first love, of simple trust. We're not proud of our knowledge. We're thankful for our knowledge, but we're ultimately simply trusting God. Because at the end of the day, it's the fear of the Lord. God never needs to be vindicated. I just need more understanding. And I'm just with a simple trust saying, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you. And I love how this reads. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Leads me beside the still waters, restores my soul. Then he leads me into those paths of righteousness. That leads me into paths of righteousness represents understanding. But before he leads me into a path of righteousness, he's going to make me lie down. He's going to restore my soul. And then he'll give me ears to hear what that path of righteousness is. But first things first, you see that the green pastures and the still waters goes out ahead of the leading. It goes out ahead and it restores your soul. You know, a lot of times when I'm frustrated and I want to know why we had those miscarriages, I want to say, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me into paths of righteousness. Lead me to that path of righteousness. Show me why. He's saying, well, first things first, Ed, you're going to lie down in some green pastures. Then you're going to look out across some still waters. You're going to come back over here. You're going to come back into some first love stuff. We're just going to hang out for a while. We're going to slow down a little bit. And I'm going to heal something that's going on in the slowing down. And from this place, you're going to see some things that you can't see from there. You're going to see from here. Returning to a simple trust. There's no theological pride over here. There's no pride of knowledge of the word over here. You're thankful for it, but you're coming back to saying, Lord, I need you. I need you. Show me. If there's something I'm not seeing right over here, show me. You know, but I just want you to know I'm just simply trusting in you. I'm lying down in your green pastures. I'm letting you heal me, restore me, strengthen me. And so there is that simple trust that the Lord wants to restore to us. You know, when I think of that story Jesus told, the parable of the guy with the 10 talents, 5 talents, 1 talent. The guy who with the 1 talent, he said, you reap where you haven't sown. He observed things in his world that made his master look unjust. The guys that had the 5 talents and the 10 talents, they were living in the same world. They saw the same thing that the 1 talent guy saw. But they chose to not come to that conclusion about their master. They chose to work anyway, to trust anyway, to keep doing what God told them to do anyway, and to bear fruit for their master. There was a decision all 3 of those people had to make. You're going to have to choose. Is God unjust? Or is he not unjust? Is he unjust, or do I just need more understanding? We're talking about returning to our first love. We can kind of get, you know, be that Ephesian, kind of that mature Ephesian, but to keep that simple sweetheart, that simple trust. Lord, there's stuff I don't understand, but I'm going to let your peace rule. I'm going to let peace be the engine and my understanding be the caboose. as you restore my soul and lead me into the path of that understanding in your way and in your time. But I want to keep my heart sweet. I want to keep it right. I don't want that spirit of heaviness on me, you know. So there's that. And then actually, we're just going to close out here with the final point, a teachable heart, okay? And this is where, you know, a lot of times we'll talk about, you know, just the Lord and just kind of living for the Lord from that place. And here's a great passage that I think captures our heart as we're living from this place. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And this to me is one of the powerful scriptures that I come back to when I want to come back to this place. That place of simple trust, a simple heart, simple love for Jesus. This is not complicated. He's going to give me rest. I'm going to learn. And you see something when you're learning from him, that he is meek, he's gentle, lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. So as I just come back to a teachable spirit, the cool thing about this is I can change here. You know, it's good to get a revelation that God loves me. It's good to get a revelation, you know, that I you know, that I can just trust him. I can have a simple trust in him. I don't have to figure it out. That's all good. All right? But there's another sweet thing that comes from that first love is this teachableness. You know, when you're a new believer, you're excited to learn. You're eager to learn. And that can be a good thing or it can be a dangerous thing sometimes. Because all of a sudden, you know, a baby will just put everything in their mouth. You know? It could be a cookie. It could be a spider. You know, a little baby will just kind of grab things. They're trying things out. They're experimenting, you know, with different things and food. But one of the things that goes hand in hand with that young believer is there's an eagerness to learn. There's a willingness to learn. There's a teachable heart. Because when you get here, as you're growing, you kind of learn a few things. Okay, I know the spiritual camps. I got some things figured out. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. And we can kind of be that old dog that's hard to learn new tricks. We kind of got it all figured out in our paradigm. We kind of figured out how to do this and play it safe. I've been hurt enough to know how to walk that line a little bit. And so you can become a good, mature Ephesian in that sense, kind of in your own kind of safe way. But when you're returning to your first love, there's a calling back to a teachableness, to an openness, even an openness that I could be wrong about some things. There could be more truth here. I could change. I'm open to change. I'm open to not doing things the same way I've always done them. This is a beautiful element of a first love. It's a teachable heart. And Jesus said, "Hey, look, come unto me. If you're heavy laden, you can learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart." In other words, I can learn. He may show me that I'm wrong, but it's not going to be a finger-wagging, condescending teaching. It's going to be a gentle and lowly in heart. If I open myself up to the possibility that I could do something better, different, his Holy Spirit's going to say, yeah. He'll come around you. You know, even in the natural, the Bible says when we are correcting one another, if you see somebody overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, go to that person in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself. That's exactly the way Jesus does with us. He goes in a spirit of meekness even as he corrects us. That's why he says, "Come to me. You don't have to be afraid. I'm not going to whip you or beat you. I'm going to show you in mercy, in grace, adjustments." But to be open. And sometimes I've found it's just good to say it out loud. "Father, I am open to change here. I'm open to changing the way I think. Open my eyes, Lord. Show me more things. Show me if there's something I'm missing. Uncover that blind spot from my eye." I mean, sometimes you cry out loud and just say that, "Lord, I'm open. I'm open here." And so this is a beautiful passage of scripture that kind of describes how the Word of God can change us. It's the same scripture in three different translations. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow." We don't really talk like this that much these days. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So get rid of all uncleanness and rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls. So throw all the spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage, and in simple humility, let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. This is where, when you're over here and you kind of got that religious spirit, that religious older brother attitude, and you're kind of doing things, you can read your word and you can check your box, and I read my scriptures and I've read the Bible so many times through and all that. It's good to read the Bible. Again, I'm not taking away from that, but it's how you read your Bible. It says with humility. In other words, when I'm reading my Bible from here and I'm teachable, okay, Lord, I'm going to read Ephesians again. Show me some things. I'm going to read Galatians again. Show me. Open my eyes, Father. I don't want to just see it the same old way. I want to be open to what you want to show me, what you want to teach me. The Word of God can come alive and be fresh and anew. Returning to your first love, like when you very first read these words for the first time. The Holy Spirit can make these words exciting, new, and fresh. But say, okay, I'm not doing this to check a box. I'm doing this to learn. I'm doing this to get strengthened, Father, by your Spirit. And then finally, James 3, who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Again, when you're kind of that older brother and you kind of hear things and you get there's critical spirit, critical attitude, what does verse 15 say? This wisdom, it doesn't come from above. It is earthly, it is sensual, it's demonic, it's not my voice. In other words, Jesus saying, I'm meek and lowly in heart. And when I speak to you, I don't sound like this. When I do speak to you, this is the way I do sound. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What are we doing when we're returning to our first love? We're returning back to that place where we've got a teachable heart, and we're listening for the voice of God. There is something wonderful about hearing from God, getting words that come into your thoughts, in your mind, and you know you didn't think them up, and they're beautiful, and they sound like this. They're gentle, they're kind. It's a word from the Lord, a word in season. What is the Lord saying? Returning back to that place. Returning back to that place, praise God, where we're hearing Him. Returning back to that safe place in Him. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And again, so much of this is really, again, no, not a lot of new theology, not a lot of new teaching. It's just an attitude, a spiritual heart attitude adjustment. Where I'm going back, returning to that first revelation, God loves me, God's for me, God is real. And that simple trust, praise God. Lord, I don't know everything, but I'm simply trusting you. I'm letting your peace pass my understanding and keep my heart and mind in you. I'm not going to get jaded and critical of your word. Praise God. I'm going to keep that simple trust and praise God. You know, the Lord did give us revelation regarding our second year in Bible school. We did find out what was wrong, and we were able to get it dealt with, and praise God, a year later, we had Whitney, and we have never had any problem having kids ever since, you know? 5 kids, so yeah. But it's one of those things that you have to stay with it, and you're trusting God, and I don't, you know, even the condition that it was that they figured out, I wouldn't have even had the vocabulary. If God would have told me, I would have said, what are you saying? Because I wouldn't have even known, you know? And so a lot of times God, you know, is letting you know what you can know, but there's things that you're trusting. And praise God in that simple trust, realize that He is for you. Have you ever heard that old saying, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me? You can get that attitude spiritually with God. Spiritually with, not outwardly, but I'm just saying, okay, I'm just going to back off from trusting God. No, returning to that first love is saying, I'm going to trust you, Father, again. My trust is in you. Yeah, there's stuff I don't know, but there's a peace that passes my understanding. I'm trusting in you, and you just lead me, guide me. A teachable heart. I'm open. I could be wrong on some things. I'm learning to grow more, or maybe not necessarily wrong, but you don't have all the light there is on some things. I could have more light, more understanding, being open to that. These are the kind of qualities of spiritual attitude and heart adjustment that the Lord wants us to maintain. All right? Now, obviously, when you're a new believer, there's immaturity here. He's not saying return to your spiritual immaturity. He's saying return to your first love. There's some really wonderful qualities that that new believer has. We retain our knowledge, our understanding, our experience, but we're coming back to a love, that awe and amazement at God and His love for us. So, Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that there is a first love, that we can return to it. Oh, Father, we just are so thankful that You stay with us, Lord, that You don't give up on us. No matter what people might do or don't do, You are with us. You are for us, Lord. And I just pray that You just open our eyes, that each of us return in that place of attitude of heart, Lord. And I just go ahead and make this a declaration of faith, if your heart can agree with this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, in my heart today, I return to my first love. I'm in awe that You love me. My sins are forgiven. It's completely a gift. I believe that love. Thank You for loving me. And Heavenly Father, there's many things I don't understand, but I choose a simple trust. You're never wrong. You are light. There is no darkness in You. So my trust is in You. Show me what I need to know. I receive Your peace that passes my understanding, that keeps my heart and mind in You, so You can restore my soul and then lead me into places of understanding. Lord, I'm teachable. Show me what I need to know. I humble myself. I want more light, more understanding. I'm willing to change, to do things Your way. I thank You, Father, that You love me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Like we were saying, it's just such a heart attitude, just a heart adjustment. Sometimes we just need this. A lot of times we're looking for that new teaching, that missing link, that thing that's going to make it all make sense. I need that thing. And a lot of times we already have more knowledge than we know, or walking in and know what to do with. So many times the light comes on when it's just those simple little adjustments of the heart. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to rest. Green pastures, still waters, pressure's off my mind. Back on the peace, open heart, teach me, show me, lead me, guide me. You know what this is? It's a picture of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where we just want to stay. Start it out with a personal relationship. Don't let it become just a theological thing, but maintaining that heart of that personal walk with the Lord. Amen. Praise God.